Well, if God's been good to you, then let's give him praise and magnify him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's give him high praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. We magnify you, Jesus, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Praise God. Praise God. What a beautiful night of worship and singing, praise and prayer, and already baptizing people in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Caden got the Holy Ghost Wednesday night and talked in tongues just like everybody did in the Bible that received the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Good news. God's still pouring out the Holy Ghost. God's still washing sin away. It's good news that the kingdom of God is still in operation. He said, I'm going to build my church upon this rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Praise God. I want you to be in prayer. Xavier, you're preaching this Friday night? And I think they're canceling youth. Is that right? And people are going over there? Yeah, and we're going to crowd the place. And you preached in South Carolina this week? Oh, my goodness. Your brother Prado. We want to be in prayer with Xavier. Somebody asked him what he preached. He said, I preached Acts 2:38. You don't have to know it. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you a story about Bill Dross, the Pentecost, who stood on the street in Colombia and couldn't speak a word of Spanish. And there were veteran missionaries there trying to dig out a work for years and years. But Bill Dross had greater impact and greater effectiveness than anybody who had ever seen there in an apostolic frame before. And he would stand on the street corner with his accordion or his guitar, and he would sing until a crowd gathered, and then he would take a Spanish Bible because he knew where the verses were, and he would have them read them. And they would come and get the Holy Ghost, and they would come and get baptized in Jesus' name. He didn't have a lot of understanding of the language, and he wasn't very effective at communicating in normal terms, but he had an anointing on his life, and he knew where to show them the truth lay in the Word of God. And Xavier, you're just getting started living for God. But when doors open and you walk through and you just preach Acts 2:38, you're taking people places where most of the folks that are carrying Bibles in this city would never take them. You're opening doors for them. Praise God. And we just want to be in prayer with him. I pray that God will anoint him. Let the spirit of Bill Dross come down on him. We'll talk about that. Bill Dross walked in an insane asylum down there, and the demons started crying out, Bill Dross, the Pentecost. Bill Dross, the Pentecost. I don't know what rhymes with Xavier. They'll have to work on that. We're going to read tonight in 2 Timothy chapter 3. What a great day to be alive in the kingdom of God. I'm biased about it, but I think it's the greatest day for the church. 2 Timothy 3, beginning at verse 1, he's writing to young Timothy, and he says, this know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come, dangerous times. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest to all men, as theirs, Jannes and Jambres, also was. If you love his word, as you're seated tonight, let's give him praise and magnify his name. Ah, we bless your name, oh God, for the privilege of handling your word in this house tonight. Let it be seed in our heart. Let it plant itself within us, God. Let it bring forth your kingdom in our lives. We pray that you'd do it in the name above every name, in Jesus' name. Praise God. And we are they upon whom the ends of the age have come. And we get all sorts of responses in regard to that. But you have to understand that Israel returning to the land is the cornerstone of end time prophecy. 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, there were terrible times, perilous times, men lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. All of these things would fit in seasons and generations all along the timeline and the narrative of human history. But it is only with the return of Israel to the land that the prophetic clock begins to move in chapter 24 of Matthew, in chapter 21 of Luke. It is when the generation is on deck that sees the return of Israel to the land that Christ said, "This generation shall not pass away until all these things are fulfilled." And so we look across that horizon of prophecy tonight, and we understand that Isaiah's prophecy has come to pass, and that Israel has been scattered twice and regathered twice. And that becomes the nexus for so many prophecies. And Ezekiel's end time prophecy has to do with the nation of Israel that's come back from the four corners of the earth out of all nations. And now it's time for Israel. Something has sounded in the heavens. A trumpet has sounded. A clarion call has gone out. And Israel is back in the land. And the eschatological clock is ticking now down toward the end time. And we have the technology for the mark of the beast. And Ezekiel told us that Russia and Iran would be doing business, and they are in fact doing business, and that all the nations of the world would be gathered against Israel, according to Zechariah chapter 12 and chapter 14. And we see now in the modern construct of the United Nations that all of the nations of the world are going to be coming against Israel, because if the UN moves against Israel, then all the world will move against Israel. Now there is a pact in place, and even Israel's best friend, ostensible best friend, has signed on to a pact that will allow the Khomeinis to have a nuclear weapon in just a few short years. They haven't stopped. This thing is boiling. This thing is moving toward an inexorable conclusion, and we are they upon whom the ends of the age have come. And I know that you have plans, and I know that you have dreams, and I know that you're working towards something, and all of that is wonderful, and all of that is beautiful, and you need to maximize, Daniel, all of your potential. But I really have to tell you right now, you need to get this business with God straight. You need to have it right tonight. Go ahead and pursue, because listen to me, there's going to come a moment when a trump is going to sound, and the shout of God is going to ring through the air, and the dead in Christ are going to rise, and then we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up together with him in the air, and there shall we ever be with the Lord, and nothing down here is going to matter. And what you were reaching for and working for and building for, that may be important in this temporal context, but in the context of eternity, I'm ready to turn it all loose. Nothing in the physical matters, nothing in the natural matters. The only thing that matters tonight is being right with God. We are living in perilous times. We are living in the end time. And the word of God, I can't do the whole prophecy presentation tonight. But now Paul's letter takes on new shape. 500 years ago, it would have been accurate in as far as a description of some cultures. But now, under the shadow of rebuilt Israel and regathered Israel, and all the players of Daniel and Revelation are now in their places, and the United Nations is in place, and all of those prophecies are now cocked and loaded and ready. He said, know this, that in the last days, and that's where we're living, dangerous times shall come, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of their own selves. Now, I'm going to give you a description, and you just give me an amen if that's the truth. Men will be lovers of their own selves. They'll be covetous. They'll be boasters, proud. Now, ladies, this means all men in a generic sense, women too. So I hear a lot of lady voices. Yes, they are. They're proud. They're boastful. It's talking about ladies and gentlemen. Proud. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Unholy. Without natural affection. My God, a dog will bite you over her baby puppy, but a woman will go down and let them grind that little body up into pieces and have it down the sewer in years past, but now they'll let them sell the body parts. That's where we're living. We're living in a day where somebody went in and took videos of Planned Parenthood and discussions of selling those parts, those little tiny body parts, and talking about the crunchiness of it, and talking about how to harvest it, and talking about how to make money on it, and talking about how she wants to buy a Ferrari with the proceeds of it. And we're living in a time where that is going on, and many in the media are angrier at those that took the videos than they are of those that murdered the babies. And they're laying those little bodies on the altar of Molech like the ancients did. It's the same old devil, but he's living in 2015. They called him Molech back then. They call it Planned Parenthood right now. But I want you to know we're living in perilous time, and men are lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. Well, don't fool with my choice. Women have reproductive rights. Women have rights. Well, the right you have, honey, you do absolutely have the right. You do have control. And your control is, don't get involved with the man that you're not willing to marry. And don't make babies with people that you can't give a home to. That's your choice, is to keep your clothes on and to keep your life right. That's where your choice is. But once you got a baby down inside, that's not a choice. That's a baby. That's not a choice. That's a beating heart. They sterilize it with the language pro-choice. I mean, who doesn't like choices? So it's pro-choice. That's the other side of the discussion. One side is pro-life. They don't want to be pro-death. That doesn't work well. Pro-murder babies. That's not a good bumper sticker. Nobody's going to send in donations there. Pro-choice. Oh, yeah. Everybody loves choice. And so we make it sterile, and we clean it up with the language, and we keep the murder of the babies behind closed doors, and we go on. And it's an amazing thing how the frog of America is in its kettle, and how the sensitivities are waning without natural affection. Natural affection is guys go with ladies and ladies go with guys. That's natural affection. But now we're in the street and on the silver screen and in Hollywood and in the classroom and everywhere else, promoting the idea of same-sex couples and same-sex marriage. And that is not natural affection. That is unnatural affection. There's a demon in the woodpile. Praise God. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers. The most litigious culture that ever existed. I think per capita, more lawyers than at any other time in all of history. I just I can't change it. It is what it is. You can't take the heat. But my God, there is an apostolic lawyer. There's more than one. I saw one Friday night at a memorial service. It's amazing. I saw two apostolic lawyers in 1 week. Praise God. False accusers. Incontinent. That means implacable. Impossible to be satisfied. The rivers run into the sea and the sea is not full. That's the day we're living in. Can't get enough. Can't eat enough. Can't have enough. Can't buy enough. And never satisfied. Never full. Always looking. And what they're trying to do is fill up that God space on the inside with something else. And you can't do that. Nothing else is going to, you're going to be up at 2 o'clock in the morning trying to get something else down in there. And the only thing that's going to fill that void is the Holy Ghost of God and the Word of God in your life. Fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And so they have their own type of theology and their own religious tradition. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of it. The power of it is in the blood, and the power of it is in His name, and the power of it is in His word, and the power of it is in this Holy Ghost. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. It's a social thing. From such turn away. For of this sort are they that creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning, always studying, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And he compares it to Jannes and Jambres, which were wise men and sorcerers for Pharaoh in the era of Moses and Aaron. As Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds and reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs was also. Just like it was in the day of Moses, the resistance was there. Paul says, the resistance is here. As Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these modern iterations resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. They'll proceed no further. But before it was over, I'm going to tell you this tonight. These are dark times. These are dangerous times. These are everything that Paul told Timothy that they would be. And there is a Jannes and there is a Jambres. But before it was over, Jannes knew who was God. And Jambres knew who was God. And Pharaoh knew who was God. And everyone in Egypt knew who God was. And everyone in Canaan knew who God was. I just want to tell you tonight, it's going to be a dark day and it's going to get darker. But you need to understand, He said on this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The darkness is not going to swallow up the light, and the light shined into the darkness, and the darkness overcame it not. Praise God. And so Exodus 8 and 18, and the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. They were able to make some frogs, and they made some water turn into blood, and they made their rods turn into serpents, but there was a limitation on what they could do. I'm just telling you, there's a break point. Don't look around and say, will we ever get a breakthrough? Don't look around and say, will we ever have revival? Just break loose in the city. It looks like it's locked down and nothing's going to move. I'm going to tell you this, there is a place where Jannes and Jambres can't do it anymore. There's a place, and God's going to turn it loose in this city where they, with their own mouth, go to Pharaoh and they say, this is the finger of God. Jannes is going to know. Jambres is going to know. I want you to understand this. You need to hear this right now, because you want to be there at that intersection of miracle and the need of man and the word of God. There's going to be a world and there's going to be darkness, but there needs to be a church and there needs to be light, and somebody needs to be ready. There's going to be a breakthrough. It's great. I love church. I love what God's doing. I love what's happening right now. I love what's been going on. But I'm telling telling you there's going to be a breakthrough. There's going to be a place where Jannes and Jambres draw back and they're not able to do it anymore. And all the people that are standing with them are going to be saying, where is it then? What shall we do? Who should we listen to? What experience should we have? I feel it. I feel it. I feel it. There's a breakthrough. There is something in this city. There is something, a place where you're going to catch a little traction, where light is about to, I don't know where it's going to erupt, but it's going to break up somewhere and it's going to shake a city center to circumference. I don't know if it's going to ever happen in every city in America, but it's going to happen in this city. My God, it's going to happen in this city. Does anybody believe that? Is there anybody that's going to say, and when it does, I'm going to be there. And when they're hungry, I'm going to feed them. And when they're looking, I'm going to shine the light. These are prophetic times. I believe you come to the kingdom for such a time as this. You see Xavier running the aisles. You hear us talking about him. Xavier was a baby when I first, I don't know how it came. Maybe they were in the box. I don't know exactly. I don't remember the backstory. I just, when his mama walked in with him that first day that he came, she didn't find us. He found us. He was looking for a church and he found us and he brought his mama here. But she and I had met before. I opened up a Bible study in their home and it didn't last and they didn't listen, but God saw it and God had something for them. And you are the result of prophecy. You are the result of the Word of God winding its way through. And if mama and daddy won't do it, bless God, I'm going to raise up a baby out of that house and I'm going to make something happen. CG Weeks said, you hear me, listen. You hear me, listen tonight. God's going to make this happen. You just be sure you're there at the intersection when he pulls the trigger on it. Jannes and Jambres said, this is the finger of God, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Exodus 9:27. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron. And Pharaoh begins to know, I've sinned this time. The Lord is righteous and I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord, for it is enough that there be no more mighty thunderings in hell. Egypt was getting crushed by the pressure of it all. And I'll let you go and you shall stay no longer. Pharaoh is beginning to know. The buzz is turning. The consensus is changing. The people on the streets know. Exodus 10:7. And Pharaoh's servants said unto him, how long shall this man be a snare to us? Talking about Moses. Let the men go. Let Israel go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed? They said, this is God, and God is working, and something is happening. Let it go. Let them go. Let them. You have power to say yes to them. It wasn't just Jannes and Jambres. It wasn't just Pharaoh nor his wise men. It was 40 years later in the land of promise. They never made it there in the first generation. But when the second generation walked in, and they sent the spies in, and the spies went to the house of the prostitute Rahab, and she said unto the men, Joshua 2:9, I know that the Lord has given you the land and that your terror is fallen upon us. This is 40 years after Jannes and Jambres. This is 40 years after that Pharaoh that drowned in the Red Sea. And all that are the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. I just want to tell you right now, I'm telling you right now, God's going to prepare it before you get there. God's going to prepare it before you get there. God's going to send word before you walk in the door. It may have come before a generation. You might just been a little child, but by the time you grow up and get there, God will have already opened up a door and made it available. Everything you need for revival is going to be there when you get there. The Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you, and when you came out of Egypt, what you did to the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, they were giants, Og of Bashan, whom you utterly destroyed. We heard about that. We heard what God did with you. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Isn't it going to be great? Let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to walk into the job. You're going to walk on the job. And they're going to say, I'm so hungry for God. I've been dreaming dreams. I've been hearing the voice of God. I need God. And you say, well, can God do that? God will do crazy things. God will do strange things. There was a guy in Masonry Arts, a guy that was working on a job with Brother G.R. and Brother Cliff, and a phone number kept, he was losing his mind. A phone number was going through his mind. A phone number kept repeating itself in his mind. And he told him, I don't know what's wrong with me. I keep having this phone number. And he told them what the phone number was, and it was my phone number. And he and I had never met, but God was telling him, you need to pick up the telephone, and you need to call. And you know he never did, but I'm telling you, God's going to go before you, and God's going to make a way, and God's going to touch their hearts. She said, we know that your God is the God of heaven. She said, our hearts melted within us. Praise God. They're perilous times, but they're going to be good times. They're dark times, but they're going to be full of light. They're terrible, atrocious things that are going on in our world, and they're going to continue to go on. But it's going to be a day of victory, and it's going to be a day of revival, and it's going to be a day of redemption. And men and women are going to come to God. And some of those that are doing all these things that Paul listed here, they're going to be coming out of the darkness, and they're going to be coming into the light. And you're going to be the catalyst, and you're going to be a nation of priests to stand as an intermediary to bring them into the kingdom of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. Daniel talks about the end time. And Daniel said, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God, everybody say, the people that do know their God shall be strong. Say it again. The people that do know their God shall be. Anybody here know God? I mean, you know that you know. He said in the end time, here's some prophecy for you. They're going to be perilous times. It's going to be awful. Men lovers of other men. Women lovers of other women. Lovers of pleasure more than other God. Killing their babies. But they that do know their God, they will do exploits. My God. The darkness will never swallow the light, and the death will never eat up the life of God. And the gospel is still going to be the gospel, and lives are still going to be transformed. And this is going to be the headiest, one most wonderful, greatest day of revival that the earth has ever seen. Right now, it's poised. Men and women are getting baptized in unheard of numbers in third world nations right now. There's not nearly so much movement in the United States, but I'm telling you, we are in for it. All we need is a little nuclear shock. All we need is a little financial collapse. All we need is a little hail and fire falling. All we need is a little plague coming to these United States. Now, don't get upset. Don't be thinking, well, I might lose my job, or I might get hurt, or my dog may go hungry. Or you, I don't know what your response is to that, but whatever God wants to do to shake the heart of your neighbor, whatever God wants to do to stir the heart of this country, we want him to do it. Send revival, God, whatever it takes. Send revival, God, whatever it costs. Send revival, mighty God. The people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm going to do exploits. Because I know my God, and I'm strong. My God, you ought to say it. Shout at them a little bit and say, the people that do know their God shall be strong and shall do exploits. Somebody's saying, what's an exploit? Is that a ploit that's no longer here or used to be ploit? No, you're going to do mighty things. You're going to do wonderful things. You're going to do amazing things because you are the people of God. You are called by his name. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, peculiar people, that you might show forth the praises of him who's called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Daniel goes on in 12 and 3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, talking about the end times. And they that turn many to righteousness as stars
ours forever and ever. In chapter 12, verse 10, and many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly. Yeah, it's just like Paul said. It's dangerous times. It's wicked times. Wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. We know right where we are. We know who we are. We know the God that we serve. We know in whom we have believed, and we are persuaded that he is able to keep that that we've committed unto him until that day or against that day. I want you to understand, where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. You need to get a hold of this. You don't ever need to read the headlines and look around and say, man, it's bad. It's bad, because you need to understand that God just will not tolerate that. Wherever there's gross sin, there's going to be grace. Where sin doth, somebody say, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Shake somebody by you and say, there's more grace than there is sin. Come on, there's more grace than there is sin. If you're a sinner in the house tonight, there's more grace than there is sin. We're not depressed about the end time. We're not forlorn about the end time. We're looking for the return of our God and our Savior. There's more grace. God giveth more grace. God giveth more grace. Praise God. Isaiah 59 and 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. And someone say, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Now there's some discussion about that comma. When the enemy shall come in. In the King James, it says like a flood, comma. I don't know. Because it says just in the bare bones language, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. I don't care how you parse that. Because if the enemy comes in like a flood, it's going to be like a mud puddle compared to what God's going to bring against him. Praise God. But touch your neighbor and say, when the enemy comes in, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. If he comes in like a flood, God's going to have a bigger flood. If he brings a gun, God's going to bring a cannon. If he comes in with strength, God's going to come in with greater power. My God, do you believe that right now? I bind every spirit of fear and doubt and discontent and concern. I loose the spirit of revival and life and liberty and confidence in God. I loose you to faith tonight. He has not given us a spirit of fear unto bondage, but he's given us a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. Somebody just needs to shout all over that right now. You just need to shout over that right now. Anybody got the devil coming in? You need to bow up and tell him, God's coming. Get ready, devil. God's coming. Coming in like a flood. Lindsay, come on, help me. Praise God. Anybody really believe that it gets better? Do you really believe that he saved the best till the last? That's not just a story about the wedding at Cana. That's about his wedding. And at his wedding, he saves the best, the good wine, till the last. I don't know how God picked us. I'm so glad I wasn't born in 1200, in the dark ages. I'm so glad I wasn't living back there in some of those ages that were so forlorn and terrible, and Israel wasn't back in the land. I mean, you got to live where God puts you, and you can have revival anywhere God places you. Oh, it's so good to live in these last days, in these perilous times, in these days where men are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, because when all that begins to crank, grace is abounding more. There's going to be more light. There's going to be more grace. There's going to be more power. Proverbs 4 and 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto that perfect day. Praise God. You need to stir up the gift that is within you. You need to stay prayed up and full of faith. Don't you get all bound up and hedged in by carnal things and carnal desires and chasing after Hollywood and lost on your phone and can't take a breath because Facebook is going off in your hand. You really need to get yourself closer to God than you've ever been before, because this is going to be the wildest ride that the church has ever had. We are about to have a revival. My. We're going to have a move of God. I'm telling you, we're having good revival. We're having a good move of God, but this thing is going to get crazy. The path is growing brighter unto that day. Somebody saying of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Come on, tell somebody about you. God's growing in me. His kingdom is growing in me. His kingdom is growing in my house. It's growing in my ministry. It's growing in my prayer life. My God, I'm blowing up in God. This thing's getting bigger and better and richer and deeper and sweeter and gooder. It's just getting better. Praise God. Praise God. Listen to me. God always has a plan. God always has a baby in a basket. Those were hard days in Egypt for Israel. But God had a baby in a basket. When Athaliah killed all the little royal babies, a wise wife of a priest hid a little royal baby in the house of God. There's always a royal baby hidden in the house of God. And when that baby got up of age, that baby's going to become Joash, the king of Judah. God always has a plan. God always has something going on. You may think you know what God's doing with his right hand, but you don't have the slightest idea what he's doing with his left hand. And he's always getting something in place. Right now, if you're boxed in and you can't move, barely can breathe, and it feels like everything's closed in on every side, you just need to open up your mouth and say, "But devil, God's moving with his left hand right now. You can't see, but he's coming. The Calvary is coming. God is coming. And my help is on the way." Praise God. When Elijah was depressed, Elijah said, "God, let me die, because I'm the only one. All of Israel's gone chasing after Baal and Jezebel and Ahab, and everything's corrupted, and I'm the only one." And it was so when Elijah heard it, that's when he heard that still, small voice, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of a cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant and thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And God said, "Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal and every mouth which has not kissed him." Praise God. God's world is bigger than your world. God's vision is bigger than your vision. And you just need to know and understand that for all the doom and calamity that the Word of God promises on this age, there is victory and life and light and revival and anointing and increase at every hand in the end times for those who are wired up and plugged up to the kingdom of God. Somebody say, "Praise the Lord." Praise God. Praise God. Won't you stand together? We could come down around the altar tonight. We could. Don't be afraid. I'm not going to do anything to you. There's an old song that we used to sing when we sang out of the hymn books. And it said, "There shall be light in the evening time. The path to glory you shall surely find. It's in the waterway. It is the light of day. baptized in Jesus' name. Young and old, repent of all your sins, and the Holy Ghost will enter in. The evening time has come. It is a fact that God and Christ are one. Now that song touches 400 themes in the Bible. It touches the Holy Ghost and baptism and eschatology. It moves and breathes through every passage of every scripture you ever read. But the part I like most about it is that it's there shall be light in the evening time. Now that is absolutely biblical. Praise God. Touch your neighbor and tell him it's the evening time. And it's dark outside. And the world's gone crazy. But it is the very best day to live for God and know the name of Jesus and be filled with the Holy Ghost. This is the best day to be alive in the kingdom of God. Somebody talk in tongues right now. Just talk in tongues right now. Just let that Holy Ghost flow through you right now. Somebody kick the devil upside the head. Somebody show him that the kingdom of God is still living and breathing in the hearts of men and women. Mighty, mighty, mighty God. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Lord God Almighty. The whole world. Listen to me. It's happening in Africa. It's happening in Central and South America. People that have been filled with the Holy Ghost by the hundreds of thousands are coming into the knowledge of the name of Jesus and the oneness of God, and they're being baptized. Whole churches, whole organizations are being baptized in Jesus' name. There has never been a day like this day. Zechariah 12 and 14 are about the coming of the Lord, Armageddon, the repentance of Israel, and the beginning of the millennial. Zechariah 14 and 6, and it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time, it shall be light. The darkness is moving. It's trying to close it off. It's trying to suffocate the light. He's trying to ascend, like he said in Isaiah, I will ascend to the sides of the north. I will be like the Most High God. But he's not light. He's darkness. He's the prince of darkness. And he wants darkness in every heart and in every home and at every job and in every city. He wants to suffocate everything that's like God. But he can't. And even in the night of it all, there's going to be light. There's going to be light. Wiggle your little light there at your neighbor. You don't have to sing the song. Just, I got light in the evening time. The path to glory. There, you have no hope of finding this song. Sister Mary knows this song. If you know that song, raise your hand. See, we're a rare and dying crowd. He can't even make it nighttime. He can't swallow up the end time in darkness. He can't shut down the light. It's evening time. He can't even get the sun to go down on schedule. The devil can't choke it out because God has spoken it and breathed it. And this is going to be a day of light and revelation. Somebody clap your hands unto the Lord. Somebody magnify God. Clap your hands really hard. Sing something. Clap your hands really hard. Talk in tongue really loud. Somebody sing in tongues. Somebody ought to dance a little bit. Somebody ought to shout a little bit. My God. Yes. In the end time, when the darkness is all around, I've got to tell somebody. I've got it. Get your partner. Take hold of somebody. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sing, sing, yes. I've got it. I've got it. Mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. Mighty God. Okay, hold on. Now we're coming to the end times. We are there, and these things are happening. Are there some young ladies that are going to say, but the darkness is not going to swallow me up. I'm going to be the light of God in my home and in my city and in my school. My God, I'm going to be the handmaiden of God. Are there any young men that are going to say, I don't care what Hollywood does, and I don't care what Fifth Avenue does, and I don't care what the world does, and I don't care what the bangers do, and I don't care what Wall Street does. Let me tell you, I've got the goods, I've got the name of Jesus, I've got the Holy Ghost of God. Is there a young man that'll say, there's going to be light in the evening time? Are there any old people in this house tonight? Do you know that the median age of this church is probably 22? I mean, look around. More and more, I'm the oldest guy in the room. But it don't bother me because I'm living forever. But are there any old, settled people that can say, even the old people are going to be frenetic. Even the old people are going to be full of light, making noise, causing trouble, praying prayers, believing God. My God. Sing that a little bit more. Yes. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. God. Now, for those of you that might be visitors or you might be new to the culture at New Life, this pulpit, and I'm not gonna make it an issue with you, but we believe in a post-tribulation rapture experience. We believe that we are here for the whole ride. We believe that we're gonna get to stand alongside our brothers and sisters in the second half of Hebrews chapter 11. Who lived in a turmoil, who lived in a world that hated them, but they did exploits in the kingdom of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. We don't believe we're going to McDonald's tonight and have a happy meal, lay our head down on a pillow and wake up with Jesus. We believe that we're going to be here for the whole trip. But we're not afraid of that because we know that in the end time, there's going to be light. And we know that in the end time, they that do know their God, they're going to be strong and they're going to do exploits. I believe it's going to be just like our God to pour out the greatest day of revival in the worst day the world has ever seen. I'm not afraid for Russell. I'm excited for Russell because he's going to be born into a world that has lost its mind. But God is going to have his hand. He's going to be a little apostolic anointed baby. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now, undergirding everything I've told you tonight, the power of the trouble and the power of the darkness is to crush out your faith and to disturb you to the degree that your prayer life is choked down with concerns, and the things you see kind of stymie your spirit. But the Word of God is the place where faith is engendered in our hearts. Faith cometh by hearing, and that by the Word of God. Your job is to make sure you crowd out everything that tries to encroach on your victory. And see, I'm looking at people that have real life problems. I'm looking at folks that are struggling with sickness. I'm looking at young people that have exploding households, non-existent parents or parents that are not supportive. I'm looking at folks with serious problems and problems that have the power to burden your heart. But we're talking about a God tonight that has the power to give you light and pressure on the inside that's greater than any of the pressure that's coming against you on the outside. Somebody say praise the Lord. Touch your neighbor and tell him, my God's bigger than my problem. He's bigger than my giant. He killed Og of Bashan. And he killed the king of Sihon. And he can take care of my problem. Come on, he got the stars in their places and not going out anytime soon. He's got me. He's got my back. He's got me covered. God bless you. Once more, let's lift up a shout and a praise unto God. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We magnify you, oh God. We bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name. Praise God. So every time you, this week, every time you hear bad news, you just counter it with, let me tell you about some good news. Let me tell you about what God is going to do. God bless you. Strengthen and bless somebody before you leave the house tonight.